नमो विष्णु पदाय कृष्ण पृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामिनी नामिनी नमस्ते सारस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शुवासादि गौर भक्त वृंदा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण। सो थैंक यू ऑल वेरी मच फॉर टुडेज सेशन। वी हैव बीन डिस्कसिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद भगवद गीता थर्ड चैप्टर। तो वी हैड कंप्लीटेड ऑलमोस्ट ऑल द वर्सेस, मतलब 3 पॉइंट वी हैड कंप्लीटेड टिल 3.42। वन वर्स वाज लेफ्ट बट वी डिडंट हैव टाइम टू कंप्लीट इट लास्ट टाइम। सो आई विल डू अ क्विक रीकैप ऑफ द लास्ट सेक्शन दैट वी हैड कंप्लीटेड। इफ यू रिमेंबर, Krishna summarizes the whole teachings of Nishkama Karma Yoga that he had mentioned in this whole chapter. Krishna summarized it in this one verse. Mayi sarvani karma sanyasya adhyatma chetasa nirashir nirmamo bhutva yudhyasva vigatajvara. So, this is what he mentioned. That first is mayi sarvani karmani sanyasya. Mayi sarvani karmani sanyasya means one who performs yagyartha for the purpose of yagya as prescribed in the dharma shastras according to his varna and ashrama. And adhyatma chetasa means with the goal has to be self-realization. Even though the goal, Jnana Yogi and the Karma Yogi, Nishkama Karma Yogi is the same, but Nishkama Karma Yogi cannot directly meditate on Brahman and cannot directly engage in self-realization because his heart is not cleansed. So, but it's with his mind fixed on liberation, with his mind fixed on self-realization, he should engage in Yajñārthāt Karma. No possessiveness, no material desire, which means he should not glide down to sakama karma also, where he performs activities for material pleasures. Vigata jvara means he should be free from lethargy in executing his duties. And yudhyasva. Yudhyasya indicates that he has to fight, he has to perform his varnashram occupational duties. This is the essence. If you want to summarize the whole practice of Nishkama Karma Yoga in one verse, this is the verse which summarizes the whole practice of Nishkama Karma Yoga. So then he says that yeme matamidam nityam anutishtanti manavaha shraddhavanto na soyanto muchyante tepi karmabihi. He says one who regularly follows this teaching of Nishkama Karma Yoga that I have given and according to his adhikar performs Nishkama Karma Yoga with faith and without envy towards my teachings, that person will become free from the bondage. On the other hand, yetvetad abhyasuyanto nanutishtati me matam sarvajnana vimudam stan vidyanashtana chetasa. But on the other hand, one who being devoid of knowledge and devoid of proper consciousness and becomes hostile towards this teaching and therefore he does not follow this teaching, he will become lost. Nashtan. You know, he becomes lost. So now the question is, despite Krishna telling very clearly, these are my instructions, follow according to my instructions, why is it that some people are not following? Even though they know that not following leads to punishment and following leads to reward, understanding the reward and punishment, why don't people follow? People do not follow if the force of the conditioning is very strong. Tadrisham cheshtate swasya prakritir jnanavan api prakritim yanti bhutani nigraha kim karishyati. So he says that even a person who may have all the knowledge, what are the benefits of performing, what are the benefits of following the injunctions of Krishna? What are the dangers of not following the injunctions of Krishna, even though a person may have all this knowledge, but swasyaha prakritir sadrisham cheshtape. If his conditioning is very, very strong, then he will act according to his prakriti only. He will act according to his conditioned nature only. So, even though, so because he is so severely conditioned that despite knowing what to do, what not to do, what the pull of the vasanas is so strong that he will fall prey to that vasanas. Therefore, Krishna says, Indriyasya indriyasyarte ragadvesho vyavasthitau tayor na vasham agachet tauhyasya paripantinau. He says that this raga and dvesha is situated in all the sense objects. From the beginning only train yourself, Arjuna. If you start pampering yourself for small, small things, if you keep doing what you like and not do and avoid doing what you don't like, then eventually you will become so addicted that you will not be able to follow the Shastras. So therefore, from the beginning only, train yourself in such a way that you'll do things which are recommended in the Shastras and avoid things which are not recommended in the Shastras. That is very important. That's what he says. That tayor na vasham agachche. Tayor vasham agachche tauhyasya paripantino. Do not fall prey to this raga dvesha. Don't pamper yourself. Because if you start pampering yourself, very soon you will find yourself in the category of being addicted. And when you become addicted, even though you know you will experience, you will accumulate sinful reactions, and you will have to suffer for those sinful reactions, you will not be able to say no because you have become so seriously conditioned. So don't feed the conditioning and nourish that conditioning. When the conditioning becomes very nourished, then it leads to addiction. Then you will not be able to follow Shastras. So right from the beginning, nip it in the bud. Train your mind to act according to the Shastras and not according to Ragadvesha. That is what Krishna says. At this point, Arjuna asks, my dear Krishna, then Arjuna may say, okay, I will learn to act according to Dharma and not according to Ragadvesha, but let me perform the Brahmana Dharma. Let me accept the Dharma of Brahmana. And why should I perform? That is also according to the Dharmic rules only, right? I will act according to Dharma, but I will follow Brahmana Dharma instead of Kshatriya Dharma. That should be okay, right? That is also mentioned in the scriptures. So Krishna says, Shreyan Swadharmo Viguna Paradharmo Swanushtitat Swadharmehi Nidanam Shreha Paradharvayavaha. He says it is better to perform one's own duty improperly, incompletely, than someone else's duty properly and completely. Because people are suggested particular duties according to their particular disease, according to their conditioning. A Brahmana has a particular conditioning, and a Brahmana's duties or prescribed duties acts as the medicine for that particular conditioning, that particular disease. A Kshatriya has a particular disease, Rajoguni, Sattoguni conditioning, and Kshatriya duties act as the medicine for that. The Vaishyas have a particular conditioning of mixed Rajoguni, Tamoguni. And Vaishya's prescribed duties acts as medicine for curing that disease of Krishna. Similarly, Ashudra has tamoguni conditioning, and Ashudra's prescribed duties is it acts as the medicine for the that particular conditioning. So therefore, he says that if you someone else's prescribed duty, it will not have medicine your disease. Therefore, better you improperly or incompletely perform your own prescribed duties according to your varna than to perform someone else's prescribed duty. So initially, Arjuna said, I will follow sannyas ashram. Krishna said, no, you cannot follow sannyas ashram because your heart is not yet pure. You have to practice your grihastha ashram in which you have to perform your varna dharma. Then Krishna, Arjuna says, okay, I will follow varna dharma, I will follow grihastha ashram, but I will follow brahmana dharma. Brahmana varna dharma. Krishna says, no, you have to follow your varna, you have to follow your ashrama. You cannot follow someone else's ashrama, you cannot follow someone else's dharma, someone else's varna. You have to follow your varna, your ashrama. That's what he says. So then Arjuna asks, Ata kena prayuktoyam papam charati purushaha anichchanapi varshneya baladiva niyojitaha. Krishna, you spoke about someone helplessly acting according to his raga and dvesha. I have the same problem. Even though I don't want to engage in that particular activity, I don't want to engage according to my nature, what is it that is pushing me to act in that way? Anichchanapi, even though I don't have any desire to act in that way. Papam charati, I don't want to perform that sinful activity, but someone is pushing me. Who is pushing me? Krishna says, Kamayesha krodayesha rajoguna samudbhava mahashano mahapapma vidyena miha vairinam. He said, it is lust only, Arjuna, which eventually transforms into anger if not fulfilled. It arises from the mode of passion. It is the great devourer. You cannot say that if I pacify lust by giving it what it wants, the desire will go away. No, the desire will not go away. The desire will remain. The desire will certainly not go away. The desire will remain. It will increase. Okay. Mahapapma, it's a ferocious one. Not only can you give dana to dana to pacify it, sama and bheda will also not pacify it, because it is a very, very sinful, ferocious person. Mahapapma. And it's a vairi. It's an enemy. Jnanino nitya vairinam, eventually he says. So nitya vairinam means lust can never be dovetailed. Lust has to be destroyed. So that's what he says. Then he says, there are multiple levels of covering of lust. Dumena vriyate vakshnit yatadarsho malena cha yatulvena vrito garbhastata tevene damavardhu. So he says that there are multiple levels of covering of lust. Three levels are mentioned. The light covering is the covering of fire by smoke. The little more deeper covering is covering of mirror by dust. And the deepest covering is covering of embryo, womb. When one progresses from dhyayato vishayan pumsam sangaste shupajayate sangat sanjayate kamat kamat krodo bijayate. So in the early stages of dhyayato and all that, it is a lighter covering. The more we get deeper into it, it becomes a more deeper covering. So skrodat bhavati sammohat sammohat smriti vibrama smriti bramshat buddhi nasho. These are stages where it is like embryo covering the womb. it becomes absolutely impossible to overcome that. So this is one understanding of this analogy of three levels of covering. Another understanding of this analogy is human beings who have a capacity to understand, assimilate and apply the shastras, they fall within the first category. Animals fall within the second category, and plants and trees fall within the third category. Like that, that is one understanding. A person at different levels, in the early stages of this Dhyayato Vishayan Pumsa cycle, this hierarchy, it is Dhumena Vriyate Vahnir. Then becomes even more deeper. Sangat Sanjayate Kamat Kamat Krodho Bijayate. At that stage it becomes Yatadarsho Malena Cha. Then Krodhat Bhavati Sammohat Sammohat Smriti Vibhramat Smriti Vibhamshat Buddhinasho Buddhinasha Rashyati. That is, at that level it becomes Yatulbe Navrito Garbas, like that. So in that way there are levels of covering of lust where it becomes very difficult. Avritam jnana metena jnanino nitya vairina kama rupena kaunteya dushpurena nandena cha. So this is an eternal enemy. Jnanino nitya vairi. Eternal enemy means at no stage you can befriend lust. We talk about dovetailing lust. Lust cannot be dovetailed. None of the anarthas can be dovetailed actually in that sense. So none of the anarthas can be dovetailed in one sense. Right? It has to be destroyed. Because the anarthas are born out of the lower modes. The lower modes cannot be dovetailed. Lower modes should be destroyed actually. So Indriyani Manobuddhir Asyadishtana Muchate Eter Vimohayat Yesha Jnana Jnanam Avritya Dehinam. So he says, what are the residing places of lust? Indriyani Manobuddhi. There are three places of residence of lust: senses, mind, and intelligence. Staying in these places, lust covers the knowledge of the soul and bewilders the soul. Indriyani Manobuddhir Asyadishtana Muchate. Okay. So like that. And then, so if there are three residents of lust, then where do I start? From where do I start addressing this problem of lust? He says that tasmatvam indriyanyadav niyamya bharatarshava papmanam prajahihyenam jnana vijnana nashanam. He says you have to start first by controlling the senses, regulating the senses. Because that is the easiest way of doing it. Okay. So if we have to address the senses first. We saw this, right? Because to control lust on the level of mind. Mind gets its food from the senses. We saw this, the taps, the mind is this bucket. Mind is like this bucket. And from this bucket, you have five taps, the nose, ears, tongue, skin, and eyes. So the mind gets its food for thought. Mind gets filled with this vasanas through the senses. So the sense have to be stopped first, or they should be regulated first. So the senses have to be first given Krishna conscious engagement. So unless the senses have constant Krishna conscious engagement, it is not possible for the mind to be controlled. So therefore, the first thing is what regulate the senses first. One should start by regulating the senses first. Adav means at the beginning. Tasmatvam indriyanyadav niyamya bhartarishama. Regulate the senses conscious engagement. Of course, here Krishna is talking about Nishkama Karma Yoga. But this has a relevance for devotees also. We can address the lust by first engaging the senses in Krishna conscious engagements like that. And because the nature of the mind is the mind generally accesses the surface impressions only. So the thoughts and everything is mostly based on what the mind has accumulated through the senses recently. So if the senses are providing only Krishna conscious impressions to the mind at the surface, then the mind will also keep thinking about Krishna conscious thoughts. So that way, slowly we can regulate the mind also through by regulating the senses. So that's what in 3.41 he says. Then he says, Indriyani paranyahur indriyebhya parammanaha manasastu parabuddhir yo buddhe paratastu saha. So he talks about the hierarchy. The soul is supposed to, the soul controls the intelligence, intelligence controls the mind, mind controls the senses control the sense objects. So therefore, of course, this is ideally for a person who is self-realized, but for a conditioned soul, actually the senses, the sense objects control the senses control the mind, the mind controls the intelligence, and the intelligence pulls the soul down. So this is for the conditioned person. But actually constitutionally, Atma is superior to Buddhi, Buddhi is superior to mind, mind is superior to senses, the senses are superior to sense objects. So for a person who takes dictations from the Atma, then that Atma can control the Buddhi and so on. So for a self-realized person, this higher hierarchy works. For a conditioned soul, the lower hierarchy works. And for a sadhaka, it is a dynamic hierarchy. Sometimes the sadhaka works according to his higher hierarchy, which is governed by his faith. And sometimes he acts according to the lower hierarchy when the conditioning, when the urge of the conditioning is very strong. Like that. This is where we ended our discussion last week. Before we continue today's discussion, if there are any quick discussion points, comments, questions, anything anyone would like to share, ask, add, we'll take anything. Okay, if there is none, we will continue our discussion. Okay. Sachi Pranko.
Prabhu, thank you so much. Very nice.
Yes,
recap. Prabhu, you in the recap, you mentioned that when a deep material conditioning is there, it is very difficult to, you know, rewind. So
it's very difficult to
rewind that condition, like get rid of that material conditioning.
Yeah.
You mentioned that material conditions are so deep. So it required practice actually to, you know, come out of that material conditioning. So the material
conditioning. I think what I mentioned is that if someone is very deeply conditioned, then for him to he's so habituated to act according to his he's so habituated to act according to his likes and dislikes. That he will it will be very difficult for him to follow the injunctions of the Shastras. That's what I mentioned.
So because we are in also the various gunas, like with the gunas are varnas, and gunas are divided as per, like, you know, Chaturvarna Maya system. So Krishna is guiding Arjuna to do your own duty, not others' duty, because he is very clear that he is Kshatriya. But now in today's context, no one is Kshatriya, everyone is considered as per the guna, everyone is considered in Kali Yuga as Shudra. So what should be the duty of a person when he doesn't know what is he supposed to do? This is one that because I don't know whether I am doing others' duty or whether my own duty. So that's also is one dilemma in the mind.
Well, for that, the whole question of duty comes. First thing is when there is a very robust process of finding out what one's varna is, which has to be done at a very early age. And not only that, but then subsequently one has to perform the relevant samskaras to fix that varna. So samskarat tu bhaved dvija. So one has to perform the relevant samskaras to fix that varna. Then only after that there is a question of you know, performing the occupational duties according to that particular varna. So in the absence of ascertaining at a young age what one's varna is, in the absence of performing those samskaras, so practically what is left is something we do not know exactly. So in that sense, the best thing that we can do to such a person is actually encourage them to accumulate some agyat sukriti. What else can be done? Because they don't know their varna, they don't know their this thing. So where is the question? And likely they have already chosen their occupational duty also. So most people will not be, even the strongest proponents of varnashrama, they will not be willing to give up their profession to accept profession which may be according to their varna. So there is in one sense there is no so the best thing that we can do is to encourage them to accumulate some agyat sukriti, unless from a very young age, you know, there is a proper system where once varna is ascertained, proper samskaras are done to nourish that varna, and then the society should be willing to absorb such people by giving them some profession. In today's day and day, a pure Brahmana, in one sense, he cannot perform a purely Brahminical profession and live his life. It's not very easy, actually. Because who is going to care of them? You know, they have to live by begging only. You know, they cannot earn. Brahmana cannot earn. And a Kshatriya cannot work anyone. So and how are they going to perform their occupation? So probably most of the occupation which is available may be the occupation of a Shudra only. So Brahmana, and practically if you see all over the world, 99% at least within India also, 99% of those who are so-called in Brahminical families, they are all performing Shudra's occupation only. Which means all they are committing sinful activities. You know, it is, you know, they are again a profession which is not according to their Varna. So especially under no circumstance, even though Bhagavatam talks about Apatkalin Dharma, you know, in the worst case, when you are not able to do the occupation of your Varna, a Brahmana can do a Kshatriya's job. But under no circumstances, a Brahmana is supposed to do a Shudra's job. So these are like, there are very strict injunctions. If you do, it is called Paradharma and it is sinful, actually. So therefore, the situation has become so haphazard that you cannot just tell them that follow Varnashram. Kuch to Varna ka occupation follow karo. Aise todi hota hai. Matlab, you cannot twist and turn the Dharma Shastras according to you. So you follow it properly or, you know, whatever. So you cannot kuch to varna ka profession to follow karo. Vaise te, nahi hai. Krishna very clearly says, paradharmo bayavaha. To do someone else's dharma, it is very sinful, he says. So therefore, you know, the system in today's day, and we have moved quite far away from the ideal proper dharmic this thing. So the best way we can help them is actually to help them accumulate some Agyat Sukriti so that at least they come close to practicing devotional service. That is what I said.
Thank you, Prabhu. Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna. Lokanath Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Prabhu.
Yes, Prabhu.
You quoted that Janmana Jayate Shudra. So regarding that stroke, basically I was hearing one lecture from a famous Vaishnava Acharya from other Sampradaya. So he was supporting that these Varnas are from birth. So what he was saying that the shloka that probably he was indicating ISKCON only, these people quote, it is not found in any Vedic scriptures and it has been created recently by some people. I just wanted to know
can you please repeat, Prabhu? I didn't hear properly. What did you say?
The shloka that we quote, Janmana Jayate Shudra.
Uh-huh.
So one Vaishnava Acharya which I was hearing, he was supporting that Varnas are from birth, and he was saying that probably he was indicating ISKCON only, that the shloka that these people quote, that Janmana Jayate Shudra, this is not found in any Vedic scripture, and this has been, because he was saying there is some grammatical error also, because if you go by the Vyakaran, then Brahma Janati, it should not be Brahmana, it should be Brahmagya. So what is our distinct point regarding this? It says someone researched that this is there in some Vedic scripture.
I mean, definitely otherwise
because Prabhupada has quoted this, but he has never given the reference. Otherwise, like, he gives reference from Mundaka Upanishad or all these things. Okay. At one point I think he has mentioned that Chanakya Pandit quote says that, but he has not mentioned anywhere that this is from which scripture.
Okay, I'll try to find out, Prabhu. I don't know for sure, but I can try to find out. So his point was what is from is according to birth only. That's what he says. I agree with that point. I agree with that point. Even Prabhupada in Bhagavatam, 7th canto, the verse itself says that talks about dharma according to birth. So Prabhupada translates it as Varnashram Dharma only.
Yeah, but one point where Narad Muni is same context when he is preaching to Yudhishthira Maharaj, he says that that if a qualities of a Varna are found in a person from other Varna, then that person has to be accepted as per his quality. That he mentioned.
Correct.
But this thing, this shloka that we frequently quote, that's what I wanted to know, because he was saying that this is not a bona fide shloka. It has been created recently by some people, and which is a faulty shloka, so he was saying.
Yeah, no. Okay, he says that it has been created.
The Brahma Jalati is Brahmana, na? This shloka, he says, is not in any of the Smriti Shastras. And it has been
okay. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I'm very sure if he has studied all the Shastras. Maybe he did, maybe he did not. It's very unlikely.
Yeah, the main thing is that we don't have a reference. Like, whenever we quote this now, there are many such shlokas. Like, we quote this Kala Shuddha Sambhava. This is half of one fourth of a shloka, and there is no reference to this. If you search any of this thing, Vedic scripture, now. Means if you search wherever, I mean, not Vedic scripture, we can't search all this thing, but whatever Google or whatever you do, you won't find the full shloka, and there is no reference to this. So just one this thing which I wanted to put.
Okay. So okay.
You won't find the full shloka. Where is the whole shloka, and where is it coming from? So
okay. I will find out if our Purvacharyas have quoted it and if they have given a reference.
Yes,
I can find out.
He has published, based on his discussion with the smart Brahmana, a book is published, but I have not read it. Maybe some quotation might be there.
Who? Famous... Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur, na?
Yeah, the famous discussion that he had and he defeated the
Oh,
smart
yeah,
guy.
Brahmanas and Vaishnavas. Yes,
Yeah,
yes, yes.
that is probably there in the book. Probably the reference might be there, but otherwise, not. Yeah,
Okay,
if you have
yeah.
access to that,
Yeah.
maybe.
Yeah, I will try to find that out, bro. I will try to find out if I can find a reference for that.
Okay, Rohan, thank you.
Yeah, Hare Krishna. Okay. So if there are no further questions or discussion points, we will continue our discussion. So now we come to the last verse of this third chapter of Bhagavad Gita. So here Krishna says, Evam buddhehe param buddhva amstabhyatmanam atmana jahi shatrum mahabaho kamarupam durasadam. So Krishna ends this chapter about lust. He says, this section on lust, he ends by telling, Evam, thus, buddhva, thus understanding, buddhehe param, understanding that the soul is superior to the intelligence. The previous verse said, right? Indriyani paranyahur, indriyebhya param manaha, manasastu para buddhir, yo buddhehe paratastu saha. And what is superior to the intelligence is the atma. So therefore, he says, Evam buddhehe param buddhva. So understanding the soul to be superior to the intelligence, samstabhya atmanam atmana, being established in self by the self, jahi shatrum, destroy the enemy, kama rupam, in the form of lust, durasadam, which is very difficult to conquer. So what is the meaning of this verse? What is the meaning of being established in the self by the self? So what is the meaning of this? Let's see what Srila Vishnu Jagadagur says. So this verse concludes the topic. Understanding that Jivatma is superior to the intelligence, understanding that it is separate from all coverings, destroy the unconquerable lust by being firmly situated, by being firm in the self by the self. Okay, this is the literal translation, but what this refers to, there is a note here. So Bhanuswami Maharaj gives a footnote here. He says, Baldev Vidyabhushan, Ramanujacharya, Madhvacharya and Sridhar Swami all take the verse as fixing the mind by the intelligence. Evam buddhehe param buddhva samstabhya atmanam atmana. Atmana refers by atma. Atmanam means samstabhya atmanam. Means control the Atma by the Atma. Samstabhya Atmanam Atmana. So here Atma refers to intelligence. And here Atma refers to mind. So therefore it means control the mind by the intelligence. This is what Baldev Vidya Bhushan, Ramanujacharya, Madhvacharya and Sridhar Swami say. Okay, so so the justification for Vishwanath's version, Vishwanath Thakur's version, which is the same as Shankaracharya also, could be that the self is the strongest and therefore should be established in a position first. That can only be done by itself, not by something inferior. The soul is firm, then it controls senses, mind, intelligence, and eventually lust. That is the equation of Vishnu Chakri Thakur. So this is according to Baldev Vidya Bhushan, Ramanujacharya, etc. But according to Vishnu Chakri Thakur, he says, Samstabhya Atmanam Atmana means understanding that the soul is superior even to intelligence, which means by default, it is superior to mind, it is superior to the senses, So because it is superior to senses, mind and intelligence, the soul is superior to lust. The soul is not controlled by lust. It is only the mind, intelligence and senses which are controlled by lust. So understanding the superiority of the soul to mind, intelligence and senses and hence lust. Therefore, you can destroy the enemy of lust only when the soul is properly situated in itself. So when the soul is properly situated in itself, samstabhya atmanam atmana, which means being established in this, the soul should be established in itself, in its original position. When it is properly situated, or as here Srila Abhana Swami Maharaj writes, when the soul is firmly situated in its own position, then it can control the senses, mind, intelligence, and then lust. So if the soul is firmly situated in its constitutional position, then the soul can control the intelligence, mind, senses, and lust. Like, so that is what is mentioned here. So soul cannot be controlled anything else. So therefore, if you take Atma to be soul, Atmanam, samstabhya Atmanam, so control the Atma. So Atma cannot be controlled by anything else. So samstabhya Atmanam, Atmanam, Atmana should also mean soul only. So therefore, firmly establish the soul in its constitutional position, because when the soul is firm, then the soul can dictate the intelligence, soul can dictate the mind, soul can dictate the senses, soul can conquer the lust. Jahi Shatrum Mahabaho Kamarupam Durasadam. So therefore he concludes this commentary by telling, this chapter chiefly speaks of Kama Karma as a sadhana and also speaks of Jnana, its goal, in a secondary way. So primarily this third chapter speaks about Nishkama Yoga only. But secondarily, it also speaks about Jnana as the goal of Nishkama Karma Yoga. Okay, so this brings us to the end of third chapter. Before we start the fourth chapter, any quick discussion points, comments, questions, anything anyone would like to share as based on what we have discussed in the third chapter, either early or now, whatever. Yes, Vahini Mataji.
Hare Krishna. So Prabhuji, the soul is always Sachidananda, it is always fixed only. So how can, this I did not understand, that soul is always pure, soul is always good. So what do you mean
right.
by having soul fixed?
So that soul fixed means not having the wrong ego. The soul is not identifying with the body. The soul is identifying with the self. The soul is always pure. The soul is never touched by even the subtle body or gross body. But the soul can misidentify with the subtle and gross body and imagine itself to be the gross or subtle body. So therefore, the soul being properly situated means the soul being properly situated in its true ego, not false ego. That is the understanding. Is that relevant, Madhuri?
Yes. Thank you.
Any other questions, comments? Okay. If there is none, then we will start the fourth chapter now. Okay. So it's the fourth chapter. So yes, now, so one thing we have to understand in Bhagavad Gita or any other book for that matter. So this is a conversation between Arjuna and Krishna. So it is one coherent conversation. This is one coherent conversation. It is not that they pause after every chapter and Krishna says, oh, now third chapter is over, now let us start the fourth chapter. It's not like that. So it is Vyasadev as depending on wherever there is a change of theme, he has made that into a new chapter. But when Krishna is speaking, when Krishna is speaking to Arjuna, he does not say ata dvitiyodhyaya, ata dvitiyodhyaya, ata tritiyodhyaya. He does not say, now let me start the third chapter. Not like that. It's one coherent conversation, but wherever there is a the theme changes, there Vyasadev has made a demarcation there, and he says, okay, the third chapter starts from here, the fourth chapter. He has divided it into chapters, whereas when Krishna speaks between Krishna and Arjuna, the 700 verses is one coherent conversation. So therefore, even though the third chapter gets over, it's not that the fourth chapter is abrupt, there is some connection, some coherence between, because this is one conversation that Krishna is having with Arjuna. So let's see how the fourth chapter starts. Before that, there is a question in the chat box. What is true ego in case of jnana? I mean, my understanding is, what is true ego of the soul for one who may not have, for one who is on the path of gradual path of Nishkama Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, Ashtanga Yoga, and Sai Jyoti. For at that level, true ego is, I am not the body, I am the soul. That is the true ego. But the true ego is not complete ego, it is partial. The complete ego, complete true ego is Jivera Swarup Hoy Krishna Nityadas. That one is the servant of Krishna. Gopi Bhartar Pada Kamalayo Das Das, like that. Okay, so let us continue now. The fourth chapter starts. The fourth chapter is titled as Transcendental Knowledge or Jnana Vibhaga Yoga. So, Krishna starts this chapter by telling famous verse, you all know the verse. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Imam Vivasvate Yogam Proktavanaham Avyayam Vivasvan Manave Praha Manur Ikshvaka Ve Bravit. So, Krishna has till now, actually Krishna has spoken about two things, right? Till he starts speak, he ended the chapter by speaking about lust. But till he spoke about lust, he had generally been speaking about Nishkama Karma Yoga. So on Nishkama Karma Yoga, you have how this whole topic of lust about, he spoke about Nishkama Karma Yoga, and Nishkama Karma Yoga, he says that follow my order. Okay. He says follow my order. But then he says the conditioning or lust acts as an obstacle to follow Krishna's order. Okay. So even though Krishna's order is there to follow Nishkama Karma Yoga, but one's conditioning in the form of lust acts as an obstacle to follow Krishna's order. So therefore, how conquer lust, he mentioned. So in that way, you know, the discussion on lust started. So now Krishna says, imam vivasvate yogam. Proktavan aham avyayam. Vivasvan manave praha manurikshvakave bharati. He says, aham proktavan, I spoke, imam avyayam yogam. This indestructible knowledge. Yogam here refers to knowledge. I spoke this indestructible knowledge to Vivasvan. Vivasvan spoke it to Manu. Manu spoke it to Ikshvaku. So, this indestructible knowledge can refer to the knowledge of Nishkama Karma Yoga. Or, it may refer to the knowledge regarding overcoming lust. So, we have to see how the Acharyas are explaining this. Because that is the two types of knowledge that Krishna has spoken till now. Okay. He has spoken the knowledge of Nishkama Karma Yoga. And he has spoken about the knowledge about the way to overcome lust. So he says that aham proktavan imam avyayam yogam. I spoke this indestructible knowledge to Vivasvan. Vivasvan kit Manu. Manu spoke it to Ikshvaku. So this is not some sudden thing that I am telling you. This has been existing since time immemorial. That's what Krishna is suggesting here. So here Srila Vishnu Chakradakur says, in the fourth chapter, the Lord speaks about the reasons for his appearance, the eternal nature of his appearance and activities, and also speaks of the excellence of jnana in such things as Brahma Yajna. So knowledge of the Lord and knowledge of, you know, the jnana. In this verse, the Lord praises jnana yoga, imam yogam, which is the goal of Nishkama Karma Yoga, which he had already mentioned in the two previous chapters. So that's what here he says. Here, yogam refers to jnana yoga, which is the goal of Karma Yoga, Nishkama Karma Yoga. Okay. So, imam yogam, this yoga, which is jnana yoga, which is the goal of Nishkama Karma Yoga, he says that this indestructible knowledge I spoke to Vivasvan, Vivasvan spoke to Manu, Manu spoke to Ikshvaku, like that. Then he says, evam parampara praptam imam rajarshayo viduhu sakale neha mahata yogo nashtah parantapa. He says, Rajarshayah, the saintly kings, imam viduhu, they understood this knowledge. Evam parampara praptam. Praptam means received. The saintly kings understood this knowledge received in this disciplic succession. But mahata kalena, but by the influence of powerful time, iha yogo nashtaha, this disciplic succession for yoga was broken. O Parantapa, O afflictor of enemies. The saintly kings received this knowledge through this parampara. Okay. But by the influence of powerful time, this disciplic succession for yoga was broken. That's what Krishna says. Then he says, Sayevayam mayatedya yoga prokta puratana. Bhakto sime sakacheti rahasyam hyetaduttamam. He says, me bhakto asi, because you are my devotee, sakacha iti, and because you are my devotee and friend, maya proktaha, I have spoken, saha eva ayam puratana yoga, this very same old yoga which is spoken to Vivasvan, I am going to speak that same subject matter to you, because you are my devotee and friend. And this subject matter is etat uttamam rahasyam. This is ultimate secret. Adya. Today I am going to speak te to you. I am going, because you are my devotee and friend, I have spoken this yoga ultimate secret unto you. तयेवायं मया तेद्य योग प्रोक्त पुरातनः वत्तोऽसि मे सखा चेति रहस्यं ह्येतद् उत्तमं मया प्रोक्तः ऐ हैव स्पोकन दिस योगा द अल्टीमेट सीक्रेट अंटू यू टुडे सो शिला विश्वनाथ चक्रवर्ती ठाकुर सेज इन दिस वर्स द लॉर्ड गिव्स द रीजन फॉर स्पीकिंग दिस योगा टू अर्जुन वाई यू आर माई डिवोटी एंड माई फ्रेंड Apart from these two reasons, he gives another reason for not speak this to inferior persons because it is most secret. So he says that uttamam rahasyam, it is great secret. So therefore, other people do not have the adhikar to hear this. So I am speaking this to you, O Arjuna. Okay, any quick comments, questions, discussion points on what we have discussed till now? The first three verses. Okay, if there are none, we will continue our discussion. So at this point of time, Arjuna has a question. Arjuna uvacha aparam bhavato janma param janma vivasvatah katametat vijaniyam tvamado proktavaniti. Arjuna has a very relevant question. He says, Aparam bhavato janma. You appeared after Vivaswan. Vivaswan lived many millions of years back. You appeared just recently with me. We both are the same age. Param janma svatah. He was born much previous to you. Katam etad vijaniyam. How am I to understand? Tvam adav proktavaniti. That you spoke this yoga in the beginning to Vivaswan. How am I to understand? Because we both are contemporaries and Vivaswan appeared much before us. So how am I to believe that you spoke this knowledge to Vivaswan? Tell me. So here Chakadagur says, in this verse, Arjuna asks about the impossibility of what Krishna has just spoken. Your birth is recent and Vivaswan's birth is ancient. How can I understand that you spoke this knowledge to him? Okay. So Krishna is now taking cue. It's not that Arjuna does not know the superiority of Krishna. It's not that Arjuna does not know that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But he wants the whole world to hear about, because otherwise Krishna will not, without being prompted, Krishna will not speak about his own superiority. Krishna will not speak about his own glories to anyone. So therefore, Arjuna, even though he knows that Krishna is Bhagavan and he is Ajanma, you know, he is not born like any ordinary person, he is eternal. But still, because common people may not know, common cannot have this assumption or this, and they don't have this understanding. So they have to be explicitly told about the transcendental nature of Krishna. So therefore, he asks Krishna, because if Arjuna would not have asked, Krishna would not speak about his own glories, he would not blow his own trumpet. So in order to bring out this glorification of Krishna, you know, Krishna explaining his own transcendental nature, he asks this question so that Krishna can explain about the transcendental nature of his own birth and activity. Okay. So he asks, aparam bhavato janma param janma vivasva katametad vijaniyam tvam adav proktavaniti. Vivaswan appeared much before you. You and I are contemporaries. How am I to understand that early, much before you spoke this science to Vivaswan, can you please tell me? So Krishna says, Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, Bahuni me vyatitani janmani tavacharjuna, tanyaham veda sarvani natvam ved parantapa. He says, me tava cha, you and I, bahuni janmani vyatitani, you and I have gone through many, many births. Tani sarvani aham veda, I know all of these births, I remember. Natvam veta, but you do not. O parantapa, O afflictor of enemies. Many, many births I have gone through. Many, many, many births you have gone through. In all of that, being my eternal associate, you are always my associate. While I remember all those births, you do not remember any of them. That's what Krishna is telling. Which means you and I are not same kind of personality. So, he says, in this verse, the Lord explains that he instructs through the agency of his avatars. This is a very important point. So, he instructs through the agency of his avatars. So, his avatars are his own amsha. His avatars are his own amsha. So therefore, Krishna says, Bahunime vyatitani janmani tavacharjuna tanyaham veda sarvani natvam veta parantapa. So when Krishna says that imam vivasvate yogam proktavan aham avyayam. So it is not necessarily that Krishna himself, as Krishna spoke this knowledge to Vivaswan. So Krishna spoke through one of his avatars. But because Krishna is the Amshi, Krishna is the Amshi and the avatar is his Amsha. Therefore Krishna can say, I spoke. When Varaha speaks, Krishna can say, I spoke. Something that Narasimha Dev had spoken, Krishna can say, I spoke. Something that Lord Ramachandra spoke, Krishna can say, I spoke. Matsya, Kurma, Varaha, Narasimha, Vamana, Rama, all of them are Amshas. Krishna is the Amshi. Okay. So therefore, the Amshi can say that I did, but the Amsha cannot say. So therefore, throughout Bhagavad Gita, if you see, Krishna says, Sarvasya chaham hridi sanni vishto matvasmitir jnanam apohanam cha. Krishna says that I am situated in everyone's heart. No, Krishna is not situated in everyone's heart as Krishna. Krishna is situated in everyone's heart as Paramatma, Shirodhaka Sai Vishnu. But because Shirodhaka Sai Vishnu is an Amsha of Krishna, the Amshi can say, I am situated in everyone's heart. Okay. Again, you know, I was sharing this recently in one of the Bhagavatam classes at Chowpatti. Same point. You know, Krishna says that Maya Adhyakshena Prakriti Vyate Sa Characharam. Under my supervision, Prakriti creates and maintains this material world. So under whose supervision? Who is glancing at Prakriti? Krishna is not glancing. It is Karanodaka Sai Vishnu who is glancing. But the Karanodaka Sai Vishnu being an Amsha of Krishna, Krishna can say, I glance at Prakriti. Nothing wrong in that. Because Karanodaka Sai Vishnu is the Amsha of Krishna only. Right? Yasyaika Nishvashita Kala Matavalambya Jeevanti Loma Vilaja Jagadanda Nataha Vishnu Han Saiha Yasya Kala Vishesho Govinda Madhi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. Mahan Vishnu, Vishnur Mahan Saiha Yasya Kala Vishesho. That Mahavishnu is a Kala, is an expansion of an expansion of Krishna. So therefore, the Amshi can say, I glanced at Prakriti. Like that, throughout Bhagavad Gita, many, many places Krishna says, Aham, Maya, and all that. Aham hi sarva yajnanam bhokta cha prabhureva cha, Krishna says. So I am the yajna book, I am the... But in reality, Krishna as Krishna is not the yajna book, you know. There are other incarnations who do that. So here also Krishna says imam vivasvate yogam proktavan aham avyayam. So aham does not refer to Krishna. Aham refers to, of course, aham does not refer to Krishna. Aham refers to his avatars. But the avatars are his amshas only. So therefore, Krishna, there is nothing wrong when Krishna says aham. So here, Krishna says, Bahuni me vyatitani janmani tavacharjuna. Tanyaham veda sarvani natvam veta parantapat. So Krishna says that in this verse, Srila Vishwanatha Chakradagur says, in this verse, the Lord explains that he instructs through the agency of his avatars. So Krishna did not speak to Vivaswan, but one of Krishna's avatars must have spoken to Vivaswan. Like that. So he says that I appear as various avatars and you also appear as my companion at that time. I know, since I am omniscient, being the Supreme Lord. You do not know, since I cover your knowledge for fulfilling the purpose of my pastimes. Now the question comes, but Arjuna is also a Nitya Siddha. So doesn't Arjuna know? Yes, Arjuna is capable of knowing, but Krishna covers that understanding in the case of Arjuna for the purpose of fulfilling the pastimes. For the purpose of fulfilling the pastimes, Krishna covers. But otherwise, as a Nitya Siddha, Arjuna is capable of knowing. As a Nitya Siddha, Arjuna is capable of knowing. But for the purpose of the pastimes, Krishna covers that knowledge from Arjuna. So he says, with knowledge covered, O afflictor of the enemy, you afflict the enemies by thinking of yourself as the son of Kunti, a Kshatriya in this life, or during this life, for the two. Okay. So when I cover your knowledge through my Yogamaya potency, of course, for a Nitya Siddha devotee like Arjuna, Mahamaya is not acting on him. It is Yogamaya which acts on him. So he says that I cover your knowledge through the Yogamaya potency, and your knowledge being covered by the Yogamaya potency, you think that you are the son of Kunti, you are a Kshatriya. Thinking in that way, you kill your enemies. Parantapa. Like that. Any quick discussion points, comments, questions? At this stage, anything anyone would like to share as well? Okay, if there is none, we will continue our discussion. Then Krishna continues. Ajopisan avyayatma bhutanameshwaropisan prakritim swamadishtaya sambhavamyatma mayaya. So he says, ajopisan, even though I am unborn, bhutanam ishwaropisan, and even though I am the lord of all the living entities, avyaya atma, and even though I have an imperishable body, even though ajaha bhutanam ishwaraha avyayatma. So three things he says. Okay. I am Ajah, unborn. I am Bhutanam Ishwarah. Lord of all Jivas. Then he says, I am Avyayatma. I have an imperishable body. But he says, Prakritim Swam Adishtaya Sambhavami. So he says that Swam Prakritim Adishtaya. So Adishtaya means accepting. Sambhavami means I appear. So which means Atma Mayaya, by my own energy. So when the living entity takes birth, so why is Krishna unborn? Because Krishna's birth is not like ordinary living entity's birth. Okay. So Krishna says, Swa Prakritim Adishtaya Sambhavami. I appear. When Krishna says, I appear, there is a sense of free will there. Krishna chooses to appear. When the living entity appears, the living entity does not choose to appear. The living entity is forced to appear. And the living entity cannot say, Swam Prakriti Madhishtaya. I accept my own Prakriti. The living entity cannot say, I accept my own Prakriti. The living entity accepts Krishna's external energy as the body. Okay. Which the living entity cannot say, Swam Prakriti. So, Krishna says, I am unborn. No doubt about it. But why am I unborn? Because when I take birth, my birth is so different from the birth of ordinary living entities. Ordinary living entities take birth helplessly. They are pushed to take birth, whereas I choose to appear out of my own free will, by my own energy. I appear with my own body. The living entity cannot say that. The living entity accepts a body given by Maya. The living entity cannot say, by my own body. Right? Like that. So he says, Krishna says, even though I am Aja, unborn, even though I am the Lord of all the Jivas, even though I have an imperishable body, but still I appear with my own body and my own energy. So, here he says, in this verse, he describes the manner of his appearance. Though I am without birth, I appear. I descend in the form of devatas as Vamana. Vamana, he was also son of Aditi. I descend in the forms of human like Rama, Krishna. I descend in the form of crawling animals like Kurma and other forms like Varaha, etc. Okay. I descend in the form of the devatas, humans, crawling animals. But someone may say, but what is so remarkable about that? The Jiva is also actually without birth. The Jiva is also Ajanma. And is born again after the destruction of the gross body. And the Jiva also can appear as Matsya, Kurma, Varaha, etc. You know, the Jiva also can take birth like that. So the Lord answers, Avyayatma I have an indestructible body. The jiva is without birth in the sense that he is a soul apart from his body. Okay. So the jiva is without birth means he is a soul apart from his body. And he takes birth just because of his relationship with the body, which produces ignorance. Okay. So his taking birth is due to the illusory identification with the body. But when Krishna says, I am Ajanma, but my being without birth and my taking birth are not separate from my body, since I am the Lord. He says that both my birth and my not being born are integral to my Swarupa. For the living entity does not take birth, is integral to his Swarupa, and his taking birth is connected to his illusion connection with the body. Right? The jiva also does not take birth. When you say that the jiva does not take birth, because birth, death, growth, and everything connected to the body, birth is not connected to the soul. So in reality, the jiva also, the ordinary jiva also is ajaha. He is unborn. But at the same time, he takes birth also, right? Which means his body takes birth. So if you say the jiva is aja, unborn, that statement is connected to the swarupa of the jiva. But when you say that the jiva takes birth, that birth is connected to the illusory false identification of the jiva. Okay. But when Krishna's birth and no birth, both are connected to the swarupa of Krishna. That is how Krishna is different from all the jiva. So which means Krishna being without birth and Krishna's birth, both are connected to his swarupa. Both are not separate from body. Because Krishna is not ordinary jiva. Krishna is Bhutanam Ishwaraha. He is the Lord of all the jivas. Both my birth and my not being born are integral to my swarupa. As such, a condition is difficult to occur. Such a condition is difficult to occur. It is certainly astounding and inconceivable. How is it possible? It is not possible for us to understand this. How can Krishna be simultaneously how can he simultaneously not have any birth but still take birth? This can be explained in the case of a jiva. Jiva is unborn but can be born. How? Jiva being unborn, that statement indicates his constitutional position as a soul. And birth is connected to the illusory connection of the jiva with the body. But in the case of Krishna, there is no illusion. So Krishna's birth is also real and constitutional to Krishna. Krishna not taking birth is also real and constitutional to Krishna. How can both be true? Are both true? Yes, both are true. How? That we cannot understand. That is why it is inconceivable. Ananta achintya shaktitaha. The Lord has unlimited inconceivable energies. So therefore, contradictory qualities can coexist in Krishna. They cannot coexist in the jiva. That which is contradictory to the jiva is not necessarily contradictory to Krishna. So by the achintya shakti of Krishna, these contradictory qualities can coexist in Krishna. So, okay. So then he says, and there is no worry that I will take birth in all sorts of wombs like the jiva who is under the influence of papa And as such a condition is difficult to occur, it is certainly astounding and inconceivable. So, when the jiva takes birth as matsya, kurma, varaha, etc., it is according to his karma, and those yonis are considered to be inferior yonis. But when Krishna appears as matsya, kurma, varaha, etc., that is not under the influence of his papa or punya. And how can someone take such low birth without not being under karma? So, if the living entity escapes the cycle of karma, at least he will get a human birth, or he will actually not take birth. So, if Krishna is beyond karma, why should he take birth? And even if he takes birth, can he take non-human birth, which can certainly be due to karma only? So this is very difficult to understand. So there are a lot of things about birth of Krishna which is quite different from the birth of the living entity. So therefore, it is very inconceivable. Wow, this is a long purport. Okay. I think we have to spend sufficient time understanding this purport. Any quick comments till now, whatever we have discussed? Discussion points, comments, question. There is something in the chat box. He appears in the same transcendental body, and yet when he takes birth, he also grows. He takes birth as a child and then grows. So how do we understand that? Yeah, I mean, he appears in the same transcendental body, and yet when he takes birth, he also grows. Well, all his forms, his Pauganda form, his Kaishora form, his Balya form, they are all eternal forms. So when the Balya form completes its job, it goes to another planet where the Balya pastimes are happening. And then the Pauganda form manifests like that. So in that sense, it is all eternal. All these forms are eternal, eternal forms. Anyways, so I think we will pause here. I think we have to slowly take this purport. We will not rush through this purport because this is a very landmark verse, and this is a very landmark purport about the nature of Krishna's appearance. So this Ajopisan Abhyayatma verse is a very, very landmark verse, which essentially distinguishes Krishna from all other ordinary living entities. So this verse has to be understood properly. We will take some time to cover this verse. I don't want to rush through this verse. We have just 2 minutes left. So I will pause here and we will continue this discussion next Friday. So thank you very much for your patient listening and your enthusiastic participation. We will continue this discussion next Friday. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur Pad ki jai, Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much.